Let's just have a prayer for a moment together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your word with excitement, and we pray now for the help of your Holy Spirit, that you might open your word to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you like following me as I go through the passage, it's that one from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to the end. We chose it as our wedding passage when we got married. But unfortunately, the minister chose to preach on something else. But now, but we've forgiven him over the years. I think it's a really important question, really. Who really are we? Who really are we on the inside? Who are we? You know, people see our outside, but who really are we on the inside? What are we here for? What's our purpose in life? And are we sort of really fulfilling our purpose in life? Who really are we? And I'm going to give you a few examples of who we might be. Now, here's the first one. Hopefully. Okay, we'll close that one down. That didn't work fully, did it? Never mind. I think you gather that was James Bond in the news. That wasn't in the picture. Are we James Bond? Do you know, as I look round at you, I can't see many of you coming out of the water and rippling with muscles. I might be wrong, but, you know, just looking round, I don't think we're that. I don't think, when you think about it, I don't think we're Usain Bolt and we're going to run an incredibly fast race. Again, as I look round, I might be wrong. What do you think? Or I don't think many of us are like Ronaldo and we're going to score a goal in the 95th minute. I don't know if you saw Ronaldo the other night. And he ripped off his shirt and he had another muscle-filled body and he went swirling his shirt in the air like this. You know, I don't think you get many vicars, well, I certainly don't do it, who at the end of the sermon take their shirt off and run up and down the aisle whirling the shirt in the air. Now, I tell you, your new vicar might be different. And you will have to tell me if he is different in that way. Who really are we on the inside? Do you know, I heard a lovely story from, it was on the BBC News, but it was from Turkey. I don't know if you caught this one. It really appealed to me. There was a group of friends in Turkey, and they went off into the forest because they wanted to celebrate something, and they had too much to drink. And one of their number obviously had even more to drink, and he got separated from his party, and he got lost. And his other friends, when they, as it were, came to, they realized that one of them was missing. And they thought he might have gone down a ravine or something. And so there was one of these huge searches launched. Now, the man who got lost, when he came round from his drunkenness, this is true, he saw this large group searching, and he joined the search. He joined the search. This is absolutely true. And they searched for quite a while, and it wasn't until they started calling his name that he realized they were looking for him. Now, I laugh, and we laugh. But, you know, I think there is an important side to our life where we are searching for who we really are. Now, for me, and I've told in this church over the years a number of times, it was when I was 19 and I was first at university that I became a Christian. I went to church one Sunday night, and I, in sort of Christian terms, I gave my life to Christ. And from that moment, if you like, Christ came into my life, and I can say that my life changed around completely. And if you like, my inner person was really different from all those years ago, and right connected to that moment. That's why I'm still here doing this sort of thing, because my life changed round on the inside. And what I want to do just briefly is I open up this passage from Ephesians, because I think as I go through these verses, Paul is showing us the difference it makes when you realize that Christ can come to you on the inside and change your inner person. Let me take you through the verses as I go. The first one, verse 14, Michael. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family on earth and heaven derives its name. I can say that when I was that age of 19, with all the things going on at college as they do when you're a new student, I discovered for the first time, even though I'd said the Lord's Prayer for years and years in different ways, I discovered that I had a Heavenly Father. And when I say Father, I think the Heavenly Father includes Mother as well. I discovered that I had a Heavenly Parent. And I also learned, as it were, to kneel before the Father. Do you know, one of the most moving things to me in church is, we're not doing it at the moment because of these COVID times, but we have the communion rail here. And you get it either way. Either I'm up here and I'm looking at you all, or I'm coming up to communion. And to me, it's one of the most moving things in church when you see everybody knelt here for communion. And they're different ages. Here we do right from young children, right up to the oldest of people, and some of them can't kneel, but they stand. And we're from different backgrounds, different educations, lots of different nations. And we kneel here because we realize that we have one Heavenly Father who is Father of all of us. And what we do at communion is really moving, because we put our hands out and we know that we need to receive God's grace and love and mercy. And here in church, you can't miss the cross. And we put our hands out. I know we receive communion, but we put our hands out, if you like, to receive God's love and grace and mercy. The first thing I discovered really was that God was my Heavenly Father. And then look how it goes on. After that, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches. This was another thing I discovered, that when I was kneeling here before my Heavenly Father, he wasn't like a tyrant who at my first mistake was going to beat me into submission. What I began to discover was what I might call the wonderfully generous, overflowing love of God. There's a bit earlier in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says that God has lavished his grace upon us. You remember when he changed the water into wine, and the water is overflowing out of those big jars. God is incredibly lavish with his love. Do you know, I was going to my family here, so I thought I'd do a little story. When we were younger, well, not we were younger, my family were younger, and I was younger as well, wasn't I? When we used to go on camping holidays or whatever, Sunday used to be a special day, because Sunday would be sweet day, when they would get some sweets. And Pippa was in charge of this. And she used to give the sweets out in an egg cup. And I got an egg cup as well. I must say, I sometimes sneaked away and got a bit more. But but for the children, I don't know, that egg cup of sweets was like incredibly special. Incredibly special. But what I can say, that God doesn't parcel out his love in egg cups. He pours out his love. And when you discover the love of Christ in you, you discover a love that really pours out upon you with his generosity. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may come and dwell in your hearts through faith. I love that phrase, inner being, or in older translations, it's inner man or inner woman. I love this thought in a sense that we have an outer person and we have an inner person. Now, that outer person, people judge in all sorts of ways. They judge by what you look like on the outside. I was somewhere last night and people were saying, you're wearing a tie. You know how we judge each other in different ways, and the world can judge in different ways because they judge what we drive, what we wear, what we do, our outer person. But for me, the one who's really important is the inner person. And here Paul is praying for them. He says, I want to pray that through the power of God, the Holy Spirit will come and live in your inner person. And that the Holy Spirit will bring, as it were, with him, the actual living Lord Jesus himself. And that's what I discovered when I was a young student, that Jesus wasn't just someone we remembered who did special things a long time ago. My whole faith came alive when I realized that Jesus was alive today and here amongst us, and a most amazing thing that he could come and live within me. And I would like to think, no great saint am I, but I would like to think that from that day, I have had a strong inner core because I've known the presence of God in me. And I've been able to face, if you like, different situations and go through things with other people. But that inner core has been incredibly important. That's why Paul prays that you, through the power of God, may know the Holy Spirit bringing the presence of Christ to live within you. And then he goes on, using an agricultural, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you know how I like gardening, rooted and established in the love of God, that you may have power together with all the holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Do you know, because I've been a minister a long time, the children's songs didn't tend to be so active long time ago. But I wonder, I'm sure many of you know Jesus' love is very wonderful. You know that one? Can you sing it with me? Would that be all right? Can we have a go? Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can get over. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. You didn't know this was going to be a musical, did you? But it's a simple song, but actually it's coming right here from this passage in Ephesians. And, you know, when I was a young student there, we had the privilege of hearing, as it were, famous ministers and vicars come to the university and to preach to us or open the scriptures to us. And I can remember a vicar coming from London, and he would come on successive weeks, John Stott in those days. And, you know, I really benefited when I was a new Christian, because people like John Stott, they opened me up to the importance of the scriptures. And he opened the scriptures in a way that I could understand. And that had a huge impact on me. And John Stott, on this verse about the love of Christ, when it says, God's love is so wide that it embraces everyone. And God's love is so long that it actually goes right into eternity. Remember, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. God's love goes right into eternity. God's love is so high that it reaches into heaven, not so much as a place, but the way I picture it, God's love reaches up into heaven, into the, as it were, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's not a closed circle, it's with an open embrace, and God's love takes us right into the presence of fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God's love is so deep that it actually reaches down into the depths and pains and sufferings of our society and our world, and even into our individual lives. God's love reaches, if you like, into the most ugly places of our lives. And what he does, he comes down in the Lord Jesus, and then he lifts us up from that point. Do you remember the verse in 2 Corinthians? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that we might become rich. He comes down to lift us up, surrounded by the love of Christ. I wonder if you know that right at the core of your being. I often get the privilege of praying for people who, in one sense, are near the end of their life. And I prayed for someone just a couple of days ago here. And I often pray that they may know that they are surrounded by the love of Christ and totally safe. I wonder if that is something that you grasp and understand as well. But he goes on with even a more amazing thing. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. And to me, that's a biblical truth that goes beyond my understanding. How can I, weak and feeble as I am, be transformed into all of the fullness of God Almighty, the Creator? You know, this is going beyond what my mind can understand. But here is this truth that somehow, when we receive Christ within us, somehow from that point, God's work is not done. And gradually, he is transforming us into the likeness of Christ. You know, it says, from one degree of glory to another, we are becoming like Christ. We're even, our bodies are going to be changed into the resurrection body of Christ as well. It's just the most amazing thought. And you know, if you've been a Christian a long time, we should be seeing signs of that work that God is doing in us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what the Holy Spirit is growing in us. And we should be seeing more and more in our lives as we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. It's just amazing when you know Christ at the core. And then the last bit, I love verse 20. If you have a Bible, you can look at verse 20. I don't know whether generally you're a positive person or a negative person. Sometimes the negative person is helpful because they bring a bit of reality into the situation. But to me, verse 20 just encourages us to be a more positive person. Now to him, the Lord Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You know, I find that so encouraging that we have a God who is immensely powerful. And he wants to work his power through us. And if only we trust him, it's like almost all things are possible. You remember when the angel appears to Mary before the birth of Jesus? Nothing is impossible with God. Transforming us into being a positive person. I want to draw this all together as I finish in two ways, really. We just have this wonderful opportunity of the Alpha Course, not only in our church, but in other churches at the moment. And from my point of view, I don't mind if you join our Alpha Course or you join someone else's Alpha Course. Sometimes that's better. And the joy of this one, we're doing a student one and an adult one. And you can do it in your own home online, or you can do it actually in person here, and that doesn't matter either. And you can come to the first session, and if it's really not for you, then that's absolutely fine as well. But as I do this last sermon for you, I just want to say that if you feel that you have a faith, but you want to grow more, as Gavin was saying earlier, or if you feel that you've never really found your real strong core and known the Lord Jesus in your heart, this is an opportunity to join the Alpha Course, because many people have grown in their faith or come to faith through this Alpha Course. And what I would say, if Rupert, who's going to help me with the communion, he's banging the drums when he's over there, and Dave Cole, who spoke earlier, I hope that they'll be around at the back of church here when we have our coffee break and afterwards. And what I would love, if you'd like to be part of that course, then do speak to them. You know, it always disheartens me, really, when we do a course like this and we only get 5 people or whatever. And what a joy if we actually had 20 or 30 people really talking together, asking questions, not always finding the answers, but growing in faith. So I would say, talk to Rupert, talk to Dave, and actually find out details today, because it's going to start later this week. And the second thing I just want to draw as I finish is this verse about God can do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. And what I would say, that as we go into this vacancy time, and in a way, you lovingly let go of Pippa and I for a new adventure that we are going to have. What I would say is, I think when your new minister comes, it will be a wonderful new season of growth. The church goes through seasons, and your ministers come, and it's a season, and then you're ready for a new season, where a person comes with new vision and ideas, and you bond together, and you grow on in a new way. But what I would say, that even if you're anxious about this period in between, just trusting God because God is still in control. And I think it's been a blessing recently that we've had new people in church almost every week. And what I'm hoping and praying is that this time of vacancy, rather than being a difficult time of decline, will be a wonderful time of encouragement and growth, so that when your new minister comes, whoever that may be, the church will be rocking and buzzing. Because God is capable of doing more than we can pray for, hope for, or imagine. And what I would say is support each other during this time. Support Chris and Rupert, our ministers, and Paul and Sarah, especially the wardens, all of the staff. And it's a time to say, here am I, Lord, use me in this time. The church can't be just done for us. The way Emmanuel works, we need everybody to be on board and offering their gifts in whichever way they can. And that's my hope and prayer, that when your new minister comes, the church will be rocking and buzzing and growing because God is in control. Let's be quiet for a prayer for a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you again for your living word, and we pray that some words from this passage will have spoken directly to us. Lord, if you've been speaking directly, help us to respond in the way that is right for us, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name.